Joining us now, Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, who, when he's not saving rabbits from pools and doing amazing things for the community, he is writing for College Football 24/7 in Jacksonville with First Coast News, 1010 XL Radio, as well, College Sports Notebook, and more. Brent, I hope you're having a good weekend. And, we got to see Jacksonville and their new look with Urban Meyer and, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow. And now we just have, it seems like everybody in the world has more questions of what's going to happen, even though everybody thinks they know everything, like they're a 50-year vet when it comes to one preseason game in the NFL.
Well, the new look looked a whole lot like the old look, frankly.
That's right. Which was 1-16. I mean, 1-15. Yeah. Everybody last year, just to make that clear. So, yeah.
People really don't understand that, and the problem around here, Chad, as it always has been, is you make a move or two, and the fan base thinks they're going to the Super Bowl when they'll be fortunate to win 3 or 4 games this year, which if you win one last year, I guess that makes a bit of a difference. But they just, as you could see, it really doesn't matter how good a quarterback it is. If the guy's on his rear end half the game, it's almost immaterial.
And I know we're going to be talking college football here, but Josh Hammond, the Gator, he looked good, though. He played well.
Yeah, they had, and I'm not saying that some of them didn't, because they did, and the defense had its moments, too. But people just got to realize that this is, you don't rebuild a team that was this bad overnight, and you don't do it in a draft class, and this is probably a 3 or 4 year rebuilding effort before they're anywhere near where they want to be. But Chubb, the question is Urban Meyer going to be that patient, and will they be that patient with him to get it done?
If it isn't, he'll find somewhere else to be. He's good at that. But,
yes.
Brent, when we look right now, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma going for the SEC, now we're told 2025, but at this point I think it's going to happen sooner. The Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 talking about forming some type of alliance. How much have you heard of this, and how much is this a possibility?
I can't imagine that they would – have an alliance as far as the scheduling is concerned, that they would hurt their own fan base and their own coffers by not scheduling a SEC team if they want to go that far. Look, I understand them trying to do something to save themselves. My concern for them would be the leadership of these commissioners. I mean, all these commissioners got to work together, like on the playoffs and so forth. So, you've got Phillips with the ACC. You've got a rookie commissioner for the Pac-12. And you've got Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, who I think is just incompetent, frankly. I don't see the three of these guys ever working together long enough and close enough in order to get it done. Do you?
No, not really.
It almost seems, Brent, like it's they're trying to go back at the SEC for their TV rights negotiations. I think that seems to be the big push as to why they would try to do it in the first place. It's like, well, the SEC's got ESPN, you know, in its back pocket, it seems. So what is the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the ACC going to do? Fox and NBC are there. I guess NBC's with Notre Dame more than anything. But from what I saw, it seemed like the TV deals were the main reason why they would even try to do something in the first place, to try to compete with the SEC in that regard.
One thing that we've learned from this, Drew, that is really going to be fascinating beyond the networks that you mentioned, what is going to make a huge emphasis on this is going to be what the streaming sites are going to be doing. The streaming sites, whoever that might be, Peacock or YouTube, Disney. Well, it would be Disney because you've got them with ESPN. But as we look years down the lane, I think what they've got to be looking at right now is going to be where this thing's going to be in 10, 15, 20 years, and how much do they want to keep these streaming services at bay, or how much do they want to partner with them? That's going to have an incredible amount of what to do with this. Now, a lot of the folks are listening to us wondering, what in the world are you talking about with these streaming services? But these things are real. They're going on now, and they're going to be a huge part of sports over the next few decades.
Well, it is, and I think it's something where it just people need to understand that everything is going towards how much money they can make off this stuff. And you know, I never even realized it, but I got an Apple TV hooked up, and you know, I've been watching some of them. I've realized now, when at first I was like, all these people talking about $7.99 is how much they're paying, when you know, you get a $200 bill for internet and cable, and you're like, wait a second. But then I start realizing everything. It's one of those nights, and you know, like the new Disney premiere, like the whatever that one, the cruise ship movie with The Rock that just came out, that's a ride at Disney. And it's like, you can buy it now for $29.90. I was like, no, I don't want to pay $30 for that right now. Like, you get me for the streaming service for $7, but I have to pay $30 for a two-hour movie. That's suspect. The Rock's in every movie. But the difference is that's how they get you, and now they're going to get you for these $3, $4 hits here and there for football games. And you know what, though? The fan base will pay it because they want to watch their team. And it's sad that they have to be put through that, and you're still paying your cable bill and internet. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be tough to get all that. I want to get into a couple quarterbacks here. Looking at Anthony Richardson, you know, this is a guy that has been looking pretty good. I know Jeffrey D's been watching his progress coming up here and hearing that good things with the battle going on with Emory Jones. Can you touch on the Florida Gator quarterback situation? And also, from my standpoint, while we're at it, knock two birds with one stone, how Florida State, if there is an actual quarterback battle going on with Milton and Travis, or is it really Milton was brought in to do what he did at UCF? So if you could start with Florida and then talk a little Florida State, Brent, about what you've been hearing.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the quarterback issue has been really important as of late. I mean, Emory Jones, we think is going to be the guy. We're not sure, but it's really good that Richardson is going to give him some competition. That certainly is not going to hurt at all. And again, we've seen Emory Jones so little, we don't really know what to expect. And until we see the opener, we're just not going to know. I think they do have a pretty good battle at FSU with McKenzie Milton, Jordan Travis. That'll be fascinating to see how that comes out. I still say Milton anywhere near where he was at UCF, that's going to be fascinating. Now, if I may, real quick, also in the league, pay attention to what Kentucky has done. They have made a quarterback decision. The transfer from Kentucky, Levis, has been named the starter over sophomores Joey Gatewood and Bo Allen.
And Gatewood's now, already Gatewood, out now, right?
Gatewood now, as of today, is in the transfer portal, so he's not going to be a factor. What an incredible disappointment with Gatewood. He was a star here in high school in Jacksonville, went to Auburn, Gus Malzahn was not able to develop him, and instead he now wants to leave Kentucky. The only thing he really could probably do at this point is go to junior college, or go to some way, like go to Liberty and have Hugh Freeze to mentor him and teach him how to be a quarterback. And Luke Doty, the South Carolina freshman, they've got better news with him. They thought he'd broken his foot. Doty is really the best, one of the best players. He's a quarterback at anything they've got right now. So it looks like he's going to be okay. And Brian Moore at Tennessee has missed like five practices in a row. So he we're not sure who the Tennessee quarterback's going to be either. So to dovetail with what you're asking with FSU and Florida, there's still some battles far from being over.
Looking at the AP Top 25, Brent, what is your reaction to it? Is there any team that stood out for being overrated, you think, or maybe even underrated that you think ought to be in a different spot, or somebody who didn't even make it who maybe should have gotten some consideration?
How shocked are you that Alabama's number one, I think, is the big...
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah, it took my breath away a little bit. So the... And look, we said this, guys, back in May when the magazines came out that the AP Top 25 would mirror the magazines, and it has. I mean, your top five, your top six is the same one, really. I mean, Cincinnati's had a lot of love. Florida's pretty much where they've been picked all along. Miami is two. LSU is... I think made one top 10, but otherwise they're around 20. And I think probably the LSU being 16 now is because Miles Brennan got hurt, and that really hurt them. Probably the other, you could make an argument, Coastal Carolina, that's a mouthful, isn't it, was not in here. It was in some others. And Ole Miss was given the benefit of the doubt by being in. So, but most of this bunch is basically what we've seen so far. Well, I'm sorry, Coastal Carolina is in there. Pretty much all these 25 teams, guys, in some form or fashion, are basically the same in the ESPN poll, coaches poll, and the magazines.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the other day, you know, there's these stats that sort of, it's crazy how life goes in certain directions. But, you know, you never thought, if I said your Auburn defensive coordinator is Derek Mason and your Alabama offensive coordinator is Bill O'Brien, people would have to do a double take on that. Now, what's funny about that is that Bill O'Brien is the one that left Penn State to go to the pros, and James Franklin takes his job, where James Franklin left Vanderbilt and Derek Mason took his job. So you think about it, now they're full circle this year getting the battle against each other in the Iron Bowl. So, you know, it's crazy that the way that, you know, coaches will go around to different spots, but there's going to be a lot of new faces in new places this year. I was looking through at night. It's like, you know, homework for your kids, but every night before I go to bed, I try to read at least, you know, a conference of the magazine just to get to know some of the players and things like that. And you've got Nick Starkle, the old Alabama, Arkansas quarterback, who's now at San Jose State, who's one of the guys. You got Tyler Shough, who's out at Texas Tech from Oregon last year. Garrett Schrader's even popping up from Mississippi State to Syracuse on rosters, and Mackenzie Milton from UCF to Florida State. But, you know, Guarantano is now at Washington State battling. Terry Wilson from Kentucky, I think he's somewhere out there. I mean, wouldn't put him on a football field, but he's out there somewhere this year, and I got to remember where that is from. But Charlie Brewer, even the old Baylor quarterback's now with Utah. Yep. So it's like all these faces that we're used to seeing.
Jake Bentley is in Mobile, South Alabama, old South Carolina quarterback.
Joey Gatewood wants to go somewhere.
He's on his third scoop. And listen, JT Shrout is at Colorado, coming from Tennessee, and unfortunately he had a knee injury over the weekend in Saturday scrimmage, and he may be out for the year.
Yeah, it's great, and especially what happened in 2020, given an extra year of eligibility and the opportunity to transfer, really opened up a lot of people. But, you know, it's one that is unfortunate, like you said. Joey Gatewood, this highly touted four or five star type guy, or four star guy, and he can't even, you know, he looking to be the future at Auburn, and now can't win the job at Kentucky. But it's, you know, that's life. And, you know, I just hope a lot of these athletes understand that there's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations. And I hope that there's very few Jalen Hurt type people out there, but I hope we get more of them, because people that are good teammates and, you know, maybe ride it out for a year, do what they can until they can't.
Yes.
And, Yeah, not everybody's built like that, though.
No. And my concern with these guys, and particularly with guys like Gatewood, is, I mean, how many schools can you go to at some point? You've got
or you look yourself in the mirror.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to stay somewhere and gain some credibility. I'm afraid you hit on it. With this transfer portal, we're going to have a lot more of that. And frankly, for some of these guys, particularly these quarterbacks, and Gatewood can do that because he's a behemoth, frankly. I mean, he's easily 6'5", towers over everybody else, is very athletic. Couldn't he and some of these other guys learn another position at the school they're at and have a much better future?
Yeah, but they don't want people putting memes of them blocking at a certain position if they have to switch and all that. I mean, no matter what happened after that, he can't – I mean, all they're going to show, the haters out there, is that play. But, you know, Brent, we got UWF opening up the season number one coming off a national title, and they're playing against FCS team in McNeese. So we're pretty excited over here what they've done. And Coach Shinnick, I don't know how many people know him as a national brand yet, but this guy – can do whatever he wants to do. It's one of the better coaches. And you know, we've been around the game covering a lot of the games. You a lot longer than me, sorry to just age, but I'm just saying in general. But having a chance to work and watch good coaches left and right, especially where we live here in the Panhandle, he's one of the best guys as a human and coaches that I've seen. And I don't know, you probably don't get too many updates on Division II over there, but after UWF won that national title, we're preseason number one as of today, again in the polls. But he's one heck of a dude, and we're lucky to have him.
Good. Well, that makes a difference. Look, and guys like that deserve a whole lot more attention than they get.
Yes, and I know Valdosta's not too far from y'all, and we have some good battles. We beat Valdosta 2 years ago by 1 point in order to get there, so, and they've been a powerhouse forever, so it was pretty cool to see. But, Brent, appreciate the time as always, and just good luck reading all the newspapers until your head explodes with Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, and Tim Tebow things after 1 week.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Although the overreaction is always amazing. Good to be with you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Thank you.